The kids and the truth seekers can be dismissed.
Thank you, worship team, for those great songs. Help us to focus our attention on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and on who we are in Him. We praise the Lord for that this morning. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be focusing our attention once again on spiritual gifts. And as I mentioned last week, the church there in Corinth was going through a time of disunity. There wasn't a lot of harmony taking place within the body, and it was because of spiritual gifts, much of it, because of the differences that people were having and the confusion that there was. And so Paul addresses that here in this text. Before we look at this, let's ask the Lord for His blessing on His Word. Lord, we are thankful to be here this morning and thankful for the opportunity to praise Your name. And we're thankful, Lord, for Your Word, because You have in Your Word for us what we need for today as the body of Christ, as Faith Alliance Church. And we ask and pray, Lord, that You would lead us through Your Scriptures and that the Holy Spirit might be the one who would be speaking. Because, Lord, people don't need to hear me, they need to hear You. And so we pray that we would all hear Your voice and that, Lord Jesus, that You would be lifted up here and glorified in this place, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen. This morning I'm going to ask you to use your imaginations a couple of times, and we're going to begin this morning using our imaginations. I want you to imagine the Master Carpenter's workshop for a moment. And I want you to imagine that the tools in the workshop are holding a meeting, a conference together. And Brother Hammer, he presides over the meeting. But several suggest that he leave the meeting because Brother Hammer is just too noisy, if you know what I mean. Well, Brother Hammer responds, "If I have to leave this shop, then Brother Screw must also go. You have to turn him around and around again and again to get him to accomplish anything." Well, Brother Screw speaks up, "Well, if you wish, I'll leave. But Brother Plain must leave too. All his work is on the surface. His efforts have no depth." And to this, Brother Plain responds, "Well, Brother Rule, he will also have to withdraw, for he is always measuring folks as though he were the only one who is right." Then Brother Rule complains, "Well, what about Brother Sandpaper? He ought to leave too, because he's so rough and always rubbing people the wrong way." And on goes the discord. In the midst of all of this discussion, in walks the Carpenter of Nazareth. He has arrived to start his day's work. Putting on his apron, he goes to the bench to make a pulpit from which to proclaim the gospel. He uses Brother Hammer, Screw, Plane, Rule, Sandpaper. In fact, he uses all the tools in his workshop. And after a day's work, when the pulpit was finished, Brother Saul arises and remarks, he says, "Brethren, I observe that all of us are workers together with the Lord." And really, that's the message of God that Paul wrote about in our text for today. Having established that the church is indeed one body, the body of Christ, Paul went on to show the necessary diversity that God foresaw in that body and how it would complement one another and work together. And in our text for today, he uses the human body to illustrate three important facts about diversity in the body of Christ. which reveal why there is a diversity of members that make up a local body of believers like Faith Alliance Church. The first fact, found in verses 14 through 20, is that the body needs different functions if it is to live, grow, and serve. The body needs different functions if it is to live, grow, and serve. Paul says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, well, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. No member of the body should compare itself with any other member, because each one is important to the functioning of the whole body. Each member of the body complements and also at times compensates for the rest of the body. A human body, as Paul illustrates, does not consist of just one part, like a hand or a foot or an eye or a nose, but many parts. For our bodies to function in order to live, diversity of parts is absolutely essential. It is necessary. And so too does each believer have a place of service for the Lord. None is greater. We're just different. Apparently, some believers in Corinth were discouraged that they did not have a particular gift. Most likely, it was one of the more visible gifts. Some have, most commentators would say it was probably the gift of tongues. They're not sure because it's not mentioned. But those believers who did not have these visible gifts believed that they could not truly be a part of the body unless they experienced that particular gift. But Paul explains through this metaphor that all the different gifts given by the Spirit of God to believers must be utilized in order for the church to function well, to function as God intends the body of Christ to function. The gifts are interdependent. Not independent, not dependent, but interdependent. Much like the human body, they cannot function without the other. Every spiritual gift is from the Holy Spirit, and it is vital to the functioning of the church. Just like every part of the body is vital for the body to be able to function. And while there are many parts, there is only one body because God ordained it that way, putting each part, as Paul told us, just where He wants it. All believers, those with the more visible gifts and those with the quieter gifts, are placed right where God wants them so that they might serve Him effectively together. They are one body with many parts, because God made it that way. So the first fact that Paul shows us in these verses is that the body needs different functions if it is to live, grow, and serve the Lord. The second fact is found in verses 21 through 26. And that is that the members promote unity as they discover their interdependence on one another. Paul says, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the other more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that the extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. I want you to use your imagination again. This man broke his left hand. And, you know, if you're sick, if you break a bone, sometimes when you go to bed at night, you have a hard time sleeping, kind of toss and turn a lot. Well, he was doing that one night. And he imagined a dialogue taking place between his right and left hand. And the right hand said to the left hand, he said, "Left hand, you're not missed. Everybody's glad it was you that was broken and not me. You're not very important, left hand." Well, the left hand asked, "Well, how are you superior?" And the right hand replied, "Well, my owner cannot write a letter without me." And the left hand said, "But who holds the paper on which he writes?" The right hand says, "Well, who swings the hammer?" Left hand said, "Who holds the nail?" Right hand said, "Well, who guides the plane when the carpenter smooths the board?" And the left hand said, "Who steadies the board?" And the right hand said, "When our owner walks down the street and lifts his hand to greet someone, which of us does he use?" And the left hand said, "Who holds the briefcase while he does it?" And then he continued, "Let me ask you a question. When our owner shaved yesterday, you held the razor, but his face was cut because I wasn't there to help. Also, you know, our owner's watch stopped. Why was that? You may wind the watch, but if I'm not there to hold it, the watch won't get wound. You can't take money out of the wallet of our owner, can you? To pay for something because you can't hold it. I'm not there to hold it. The master can do very few things without me." You see, diversity in the body is, I believe, evidence of the wisdom of God. Each member needs the other members. We each need each other to function as the body of Christ, as Faith Alliance Church here. No member can afford to become independent of the body. When a part of the body, the human body, becomes independent, it's usually because there's a serious illness or disease, or even with death maybe ensuing, when the body tries to become independent of the others. In a healthy body, what takes place is the various parts cooperate with each other and even compensate for each other when a crisis occurs. Have you noticed that with your own body? When you get sick, how the rest of the body tries to compensate for the other parts that can't deal with things, right? Well, the same is true for the church. The instant any part of the body says to any other part of the body, "I don't need you," it begins to weaken, begins to die. It begins to create problems for the whole body. No Christian servant can say to any other servant, "My ministry can get along without you." No member of the body of Christ is expendable. Everyone is important. Everyone's ministry is crucial to the whole. Those with visible gifts could not function to their full capacity and extent without the other indispensable members utilizing their gifts. the pastor of a church. He might know God's word. He might be able to deliver sound preaching and teaching of it, but he will be ineffective if the other members are not utilizing their gifts. If the other members of the body are not greeting newcomers to the church warmly, or making sure that the building is maintained and the property cared for, or planning the worship service, or following up with people's needs, ministering to children or youth, or faithfully praying for the ministry, the church will be ineffective because it takes everyone involved. Every gift, every part, every member involved. Yes, the church needs visible members, but it needs everyone. In reality, the less visible members are really the indispensable ones. Because as Paul says, some parts of the body seem weakest and least important, but they are actually the most necessary. Paul argued for diversity of gifts. He argued for the acceptance of the full range of gifts that God gives to his people. No one should feel superior about his or her gift. Instead, all should use their gifts willingly to serve the others, to build up the body of Christ, to further the kingdom of God, to bring glory to God. Too often, the upfront gifts, like speaking or teaching, are more highly regarded than the behind-the-scenes gifts, like that of helping and serving. No one should discount the contribution of another believer, no matter how insignificant it may seem. And neither should we be dissatisfied with the gift that God has given us, but we should eagerly serve God with it. Nor should we envy those who seem to have more gifts or greater gifts than we do. In love, we need to treat everyone's gift, including ours, as valuable to God and use them for His service and for His glory. In essence, God's desire is that there be no division within the church. How many of you watched the president's State of the Union address this last week? Did you notice anything in particular? You know, there was the Republicans, they were cheering.
The Democrats were there like this, they were looking.
There was disunity. It was a terrible sight, really, to see, you know, in a lot of ways, such childish behavior. You know, God's desire is that there be no division within the body of Christ. Jesus prayed, as we looked at last week in John 17, he prayed to the Father that there would be unity within the body of Christ. Why? So that the whole world might know that he came. Without unity, that isn't going to happen. Instead, people will see the problems. If there's disunity in the church, what do they see? They see the problems in the church. And that was what was happening in Corinth. They weren't any kind of testimony to the community because of the disunity that was in them. And that disunity came because of the gifts. You see, diversity leads to disunity when members compete with one another. And that's what was happening in Corinth. But diversity leads to unity. It leads to harmony when the members care for one another. How do we care for each other? By each one functioning according to God's will. Using the gift that the Holy Spirit has given you. Helping our brothers and sisters also who are in Christ Jesus to use their gifts. All for the glory of God. Paul says if one member suffers, guess what? It affects every member. If one is healthy, it helps the others to be strong. The second important fact about diversity in the body of Christ is that the members promote unity as they discover their dependence on one another. Now, next Sunday, we're going to consider the third important fact. And that's found in verses 27 to 31. And that is that diversity of members fulfills the will of God in the body. We'll consider that next week. In closing, this morning, I would like to leave you with these thoughts written in a parable by an ancient writer whose name is Livy, L-I-V-Y. Here's what he wrote. He said, there was a day when the human body was not as harmoniously ordered as it is today. Every member of the body had its own will in its own language. The other members became angry that they had to concern themselves with the needs of the stomach and provide it with everything, it seemed. The stomach just remained at the center of all this, satisfied with all that was brought to it. The members made a decision. They had had enough. The hands vowed that they would not supply any food to the mouth. The mouth would not receive any food, nor would the teeth chew anything that was put into the mouth. Consequently, during this time in which they starved the stomach, all the parts of the body became weak and feeble. Then they realized that the role of the stomach was not to be despised as a passive one. Just as he was being nourished, he was passing on strength in return. In short, the parable shows us that the body of Christ, with all its diversity of people and gifts, needs each believer to function by using the gift that God has given them, so that the body may be healthy, so that the body may be strong, so that the body may be powerfully used by God in this world, so that others might come to know Jesus as their Savior too. So let me close with this. Are you using the gift that God gave you to use? Let's pray together. As we pray, I'm going to ask you to respond in a little different way than maybe we have in the past, and that's in this way. I would ask you to pray along with me for our church. And if the Holy Spirit leads you, to pray even for yourself and for the use of your gift or gifts within the body. And after a season, I will close in prayer. But as the Lord leads you, would you pray for our church? Would you pray for Faith Alliance Church, that we might be a body that is united in Christ, a body that is using the wonderful gifts that He has given us to build each other up, to strengthen each other in our faith, to be a witness to the world around us. Let's pray together as God leads. Just pray out loud. Lord, we ask that you would please use each one of us for your glory in this place. We would pray, Lord, that you would help us to be mindful. May your Holy Spirit, maybe some of us, Lord, need to be reminded by your Holy Spirit of the gifts that you have given us and how you desire to use them here at Faith Alliance Church. Maybe some of us, Lord, need your encouragement, need your strength, need someone to come alongside and be an encouragement. I just pray, Lord, that you would work in these ways. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you have called us together to be a body of believers in this place. And we ask that you would work. Lord, as we think about this morning, and as we come to the table that is set before us, we realize that it represents your body and your blood, which was given for us so that we might have a relationship with you, so that we might be a part of the body of Christ, the church, that is living here and serving you here on this earth. And without your death, Lord, for our sins, none of us would be here today. As we reflect on that, and as we reflect on your desires for us here at Faith Alliance Church, I pray, God, that we would be strengthened, that we would be blessed, and that we would be encouraged in our faith, our walk with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask if Randy and Brother Kurt, if you would come and help me as we serve communion. You know, coming to the Lord's table is, I don't know how you view it. Come on up, have a seat. I don't know how you view it, but I view it as a very special occasion for us as a church, as we remember what Jesus did for us. We remember why we're here in the first place. We're not here by accident. We're not even here today because of something that we chose to do. We're here today because of what Jesus did for us. And this table represents what he did for us. It represents his body. It represents his blood. It represents the greatest gift that has ever been given. And today, as we partake of the bread and of the cup, we can remember that time when we first came to know Christ as our Savior. And I just encourage you, as you reflect on this table, to reflect back on the day that you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus. I would ask that you would all wait until we are served, and then we'll partake of this together. This little saltine cracker here represents the body of Christ. It represents everything that he went through for us on the cross. It represents all of our sins being nailed to the cross with him. It represents all the condemnation that he received, our condemnation that he received when he died on the cross for our sins. It represents the best thing that ever happened to us when he died on the cross. I'm going to ask Kurt if he would lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving as we partake of this bread together. What does this cup represent? It represents the blood of Christ. What does that mean? It washes our sins away. Anybody else? Blood of the covenant? Anything else? He gave freely. What else? Amen. Amen. That's Brian's mother, if you didn't know. The blood of Christ, the only payment that our Father in heaven would receive for the forgiveness of our sins. Randy, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Thanksgiving for the blood. Let's drink this cup together in remembrance of the Lord's death on the cross and the payment that he made for us. Would you please stand?
One name, oh sweet above them all. His fame outlasts the earth he formed. His praise resounds beyond the stars and echoes in our hearts. The greatest one of all. Lift up your eyes, see the King has come. Light of the world reaching out for us. There is no other name, there is no other name. Jesus Christ the God. Oh, oh, oh. Find hope when all the world seems lost. Behold the triumph of the cross. His power has trampled death and grave. Our life found in His name. The name of all. Lift up our eyes, see the King has come. Light of the world reaching out for us. There is no other name, there is no other name. Jesus Christ the God. Oh, Jesus. The earth will shake and tremble before Him. Chains will break as heaven and earth sing. Holy is the name, holy is the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The earth will shake and tremble before Him. Chains will break as heaven and earth sing. Holy is the name, holy is the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lift up our eyes, see the King has come. Light of the world reaching out for us. There is no other name, there is no other name. Jesus Christ the God. Oh, seated on high, the undefeated one. Mountains bow down as we lift Him up. There is no other name, there is no other name. There is no other name, there is no other name. Jesus.